I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hour number two underway. Grant and Danny with you on 106.7 The Fan. There was a tweet that came in during the break saying someone heard a baby and wants to know who the first offspring was to get on the board. Well, in fact, Byron Kerr already has 1 point, and now the president has joined Byron Kerr on the board as having been heard in our home shows.
There you have it. She made her presence known, my friend.
Keeping track of who interrupts the show most frequently. Right now the answer is Fiona the dog. 4 times since we've been doing these shows at home, you've heard Fiona the dog here on 106.7 The Fan bark. Once for Byron Kerr, once for the president, Reagan, and no time so far for either wife or still no cameo on the show. This is the upset for Bill Rowland, I think everybody had in the office pool is happening pretty quickly.
This has been a stunning development. I thought the babies would be the most likely. They're both on the board, but way, way lower than your canine companion. And no wives. I thought an angry wife would absolutely happen, thinking we were in commercial, and we were not. It has not occurred.
Let's go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline and welcome onto the show a friend of the program, XFL DC Defenders head coach Pep Hamilton, as we look back at year one of the XFL, which unfortunately got canceled halfway through because COVID-19 was rummaging through the country and the DC area. And Pep now and his team would be preparing for the final regular season game in the playoffs next week, but instead they're looking ahead to year two. Coach, thanks so much for joining us on Grant and Danny. How you doing?
You know, I'm doing as good as I can be, you know, at the moment, but grateful to, have this opportunity to spend quality time with my family, my wife and kids. We're homeschooling the kids. I have 3 kids that are of school age. I have an 18-year-old daughter who's heading off to college next year or later this year, a 14-year-old son and a 11-year-old daughter, and we're homeschooling the kids, and I'm the PE teacher, DC history teacher, and life skills teacher.
I like that. You're multitasking. You're the professor of 3 different courses at home now. Now, you were the professor of offense for the Defenders earlier this season. I had a blast calling those games. What a great product it was at Audi Field. I guess let's just start with your takeaways from year one, what you expected from the quality of play. Nobody really knew what this was going to look like. I remember talking to you several days before the first game, and you were kind of curious with some of the rules. What did you think of year one for the XFL?
Hey, it was exactly what you just said with regards to going into the season somewhat blind on a lot of different levels. All right, first and foremost, for coaches, we rely on a lot of qualitative data to prepare for opponents. You know, just having film from previous years, you know, being able to study different players on different defenses that you face and really formulating a plan based on hard data. Well, you know, going into our season, there was really no way for us to do that. You know, we had our training camp back in Houston during the month of January, and it was all teams, all 8 teams from the XFL. We had training camp centrally located in Houston, and when we had our scrimmages and what we call our mock games, nobody, no teams actually ran any of the schemes that they ran during the season. So, and we all knew that. We knew that that would be the case going into it. So going into the first game, there was a lot of unknowns, but everybody adjusted and adapted, and in time, you know, it turned out to be a pretty good product. I thought the football was good, to answer your question, though.
Coach, just looking back on the data points that we have, in your opinion, what worked and what didn't work as you guys go forward to, you know, to try to improve in year two whenever that happens?
Well, I think the first and foremost, the kickoff rule was outstanding. I thought it was, you know, it was great to see that there were still you still had the excitement of having the possibility of having a big kickoff return, but it was a lot safer for the players. The play clock. You know, the game was fast, but it wasn't so fast that you couldn't actually huddle and process in between plays. So going into it, I thought it would be a lot faster than what it was, but it was very doable with regards to the play clock. And so we'll do a better job of planning for that as we go into next season. And then lastly, I really enjoyed the tiered point after touchdown opportunities, and even though we wasn't as good as what I would have liked, it was a tremendous challenge to have to come up with plays in a gotta have a situation from the 5-yard line. I can tell you that it's a lot tougher than what it seems.
Pat Hamilton of the DC Defenders, their head coach on Grant and Danny. I'd like to see the ability for you as the head coach to communicate with the skill position players, not just the quarterback and their helmets, in the NFL immediately. I don't know why the league wouldn't want that. If you wouldn't mind putting your OC hat on from the National Football League, where you played for Andrew Luck and the Colts, would that work? I mean, why wouldn't that be a benefit to the other league as well?
You know, that's a good question. I do think that it allows you to be more creative offensively. You can make more real-time adjustments, and it'll put a lot more pressure on the defense. It would. Just to be able to say, hey, tell a receiver, for example, just instead of running a route that was called initially, hey, we're going to adjust the route at the line of scrimmage. Hey, run a hitch. And the quarterback will hear that. You come up with buzzwords, and they know that, man, that's a free access opportunity versus a corner that's playing off coverage to take a hitch on first or second down. Let's take it. And it would make it interesting to see how that opportunity to call plays and adjust routes at the line of scrimmage would evolve in the NFL.
Pep Hamilton on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. As you look now, and I don't want to get you too upset, as you think about it would be the end of the season, you'd be going into the playoffs, you know, right now, you guys had positioned yourselves really well because you went 3-0 at home. You had two, not only losses, but kind of real ugly games on the road. Right. I mean, do you view that as kind of an endorsement of the Audi Field crowd and just that atmosphere, an indictment on how you guys traveled and maybe having to put a plan together next year for that? And what was it like playing at Audi? Because, man, if those games weren't fun.
I tell you what, we were super excited to have an opportunity to face the Dallas team following our last home game against St. Louis. You know, our team, we felt like we were starting to really find our groove and really trust that our identity was, you know, just playing physical, hard-nosed defense and grinding it out on offense and still hitting big plays. But we had home field advantage. I think we had the best home field advantage in the XFL. Our fan base, just the energy that our players felt from the fans, it invigorated our players. Defensive players are highly emotional, and they feed off of the attaboys that you give them over the course of the game. And I think more so than our offensive guys, I think our defensive guys, they played with a different tempo and played with a different energy at home, and that was a direct result of the great fans that came out to support us. Now, you know, it's now that we've had time to really reflect on what made just what really excited our fans. Just looking back at it, the evolution of that beer snake, man, That was fun to watch. It almost became a distraction for me at times. In between quarters, I'm looking to see at how high, you know, how many cups they had accumulated down into the end zone, but down in the end zone. But no, it was great. It was great. We had a great fan base, great opportunity to really just give the locals in D.C. an opportunity to come out and support a team that I hopefully felt like was tangible for them, you know?
Coach, and Coach Pep Hamilton is with us, XFL Defenders. What have you heard from the league in terms of what's next? Just, I mean, this is obviously the craziest time I can remember. I'm 40. I've never experienced anything like this in my lifetime. Yeah. We all are kind of going through this at the same time. What kind of communication have you heard from the brass, from the higher-ups, the people wearing fancy suits, about what's next?
Just really the same things that our league has made public, you know, with regards to just preparing ourselves to improve on what we established this past year and have an even better game and a better product for the fans to enjoy in 2021. So we're moving full steam ahead to prepare ourselves for 2021.
Pep, we've got a clip here from one of the highlight plays. I think it actually won the polling done by your digital team as play of the year. It was a week one touchdown. It was a double pass call and a little flea flicker look from you. We'll play this clip, and then I want to get you to take us through the play. Here it was, as heard on the fan.
Now a long cadence after breaking the huddle for Cardale Jones, who's going to give to Donnell Pumphrey. Tosses back to Rogers. Tosses back to Jones. Way downfield, Corey Lee. Trickeration at the 10. Still running 5. Touchdown, D.C. Defenders. A handoff, a toss back, a little flea flicker look. And then Cardale jams to the tight end. Corey Lee into the end zone. DC's out in front at Audi Field. And they just dug way deep into the playbook.
I mean, Pep, that's one of those moments where you want to walk out to midfield, just take a bow, and walk back to the sideline. What was that play called? And tell me about the installation of that play. Is that something you had in all along or that week? How did that work?
Well, you know, I'll give you the backstory on that play. That play was called Boilermaker, okay? All right? Now, okay, the truth is, all right, prior to me becoming the head coach of the D.C. Defenders, I coached at the University of Michigan, and we played against none other than Purdue at Purdue a couple years back, and they ran that play against us. And so it was a play that was pirated from the Purdue Boilermakers, and I just felt like just based on what we expected to see defensively from that Seattle team, that it was a play that could work in a situation where we didn't expect pressure, and it did. It was great execution by our players.
Did Coach, did it work against you guys when you were at Michigan?
It did. It did.
It's a hell of a play.
So it stuck with you.
It stuck with me. Yeah, no doubt about it. We're all coaches. We're pirates now. It's a copycat. All football coaches are in a sense always looking for new ideas. You know, I've watched my son's middle school team play games and said, man, you know, I think we can run that, you know, and that'll have a chance at the Defenders or at Michigan.
That's fun. Coach, stay safe, man. Appreciate it. I know you got your hands full as the home educator, like so many of us with kids. I'm basically in charge of iPads at this point, man. So we appreciate the time, and stay safe, okay? We'll talk soon.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, it was a great, fun first 5 games for the Defenders, and Pep Hamilton's offense was a blast to watch with some of those trick plays. Appreciate him jumping on, Grant and Danny. At the bottom of the hour at 11:30, we're bringing back one of our favorite games to play on the show. You guys can participate. Thom's going to play Smash Hits from Through the Years, and we'll have to determine whether or not I can name the band that played the very famous song. If you're new to the show, I don't know much about music. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Next, Tom Brady wrote a letter about his time in New England. Bill Belichick didn't get as much love as you might have thought. We're G&D. Big thanks to Pep Hamilton for joining us on Grant and Danny. That was not the answer I expected on his trick play Boilermaker there. But that's what coaches do, man. It's funny because they watch the film, they see a play, and they take it. I remember Sean McVay had this awesome play he ran. Might have even been 2 seasons ago when they went to the Super Bowl, and everyone was talking about what a genius and how brilliant he is. And he is those things. But he'd actually taken the play from Clemson. And Dabo Swinney had run it like a month earlier. And it was just a different audience, I guess, watching, and people had forgotten, but it was almost an identical play to what Clemson had run. And he said, yeah, I don't really get credit for that one. I saw Dabo Swinney run it, and we ran it, and it worked. So give him the credit. But yeah, maybe Dabo took it from somewhere else. Who knows?
Grant, how many Philly specials after Nick Foles scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl got run all across America? I mean, that's the thing. Somebody comes up with it, and he said it best, and it's not like stand-up comedy where you lift jokes. It's a smart thing to do. You find something that's effective, you do it. Everyone ran the Wildcat for 20 minutes. Remember that? Remember the Wildcat? That was the thing. It was Darren McFadden. It was Felix Jones. Wow, this is brilliant. It was Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams. Wow, this is brilliant. Until someone figures out a way to solve it, you try something new, always trying to stay a step ahead.
Yeah, why not try something that you think could work against a certain look? We'll get into a game coming up in about 8 minutes, and we'll line up the calls if you want to play it, 800-636-1067. No prizes, just for fun, but you'll have to guess at whether or not I'm going to be able to name the band that the very famous song was performed by. Before we do that, though, speaking of famous, Tom Brady's now at the Tampa Bay Bucks. He leaves the New England Patriots. He penned a piece, a nice essay on the Players Tribune, about his time with New England and his decision to move on to Tampa Bay. A lot is being taken out of the fact, though, that he wrote this lengthy essay. It was 2,633 words. So you're talking about like 6 pages on Microsoft Word. And in that lengthy essay, there was next to nothing about Bill Belichick. I was reading a piece in the Washington Post by Des Peeler about this, and just to read an excerpt from it, he says it was Brady, it was what Brady did not write in his lengthy essay for the Players Tribune that seemed telling, specifically in those 2,600 words delving into his thinking behind leaving the place where he won 6 Super Bowls. Brady only mentions in an offhand, less than complimentary way the coach who helped him reach those unprecedented heights. Elsewhere, he asserts he is very much looking forward to feeling appreciated and respected by the Buccaneers, leaving readers to guess at how that might differ from the way he felt with the Patriots. The mention of Belichick, and that's singular, the mention of Belichick.
The one mention.
Arrives in a paragraph in which Brady writes, "When the Patriots drafted me back in 2000, I was 22. I remember I was sitting in my parents' house in California, growing less and less confident that the phone would ring. Late in the draft, it did. By the way, in the 6th round, it's not like Coach Belichick himself was on the other end of the line. I think it was his assistant. We just want to let you know that you've been picked by New England and the Patriots," the assistant, who's a Burge Nigerian, said to Tom Brady on the phone. That was the mention of Belichick. Now, wow. Later on, he talks about thanking his coaches and the assistants and the players and what have you. But you might think, in a 2,600-word essay, you and Belichick are inextricably linked as the coach and the quarterback who accomplished more than any tandem ever, that he might get his own paragraph. That didn't happen, Danny.
Yeah, I mean, or, you know, the greatest coach of all time. Maybe you'd be glowing and gushing him. We found a way to compete despite, you know, being under-talented in certain years. We were a million different things, and it was always about Belichick out-scheming the opponent or him taking away what the other team did best. I mean, 80% of the essay should be about Bill Belichick, if they got along, if that's what this whole thing wasn't really ultimately about. I think this crystallizes it for me, honestly, is we sort of suspected, we had our theories, right, that this was about credit, this was about appreciation. Brady felt underappreciated, not from the Kraft family, not from Patriots fans, not from his teammates, but from Bill Belichick. He's the dad that won't give you the hug. He's the guy that won't put his arm around you. He's the guy that, you know, wanted to move on from you a couple times over the previous several years, and that got back to you. You took away your precious snake oil salesman, Alex Guerrero, from you. All these personal affronts finally added up to Brady saying, "I'm leaving the nest." And that's how it happened. And, you know, if you're a Patriots fan, you're spoiled, but what, are you going to be mad at Belichick for going to 9 Super Bowls and winning 6? But it probably, at the end, cost you the last couple years of Tom Brady in his twilight. Now, he still comes back. He's a Hall of Famer. He's in the Ring of Honor, and it'll be nothing but positive feelings for Brady. But what a weird situation, man, that, you know, it's the end of an incredible band at their amazing run, and you got 2 front men, and they can't get along anymore, so they just can't make music.
Yeah, how about this from Brady? He writes, "Now I want to see what more I can do," the 42-year-old declared. "I want to see how great I can be. I want to hear other people say, 'Go, man.' Now, that's what we've been missing. That's what we needed. That's what we've been looking for." At another point in the essay, and this is the story in the Washington Post, He writes that playing for the Bucks will not only be an opportunity to lead and collaborate, but also, quote, to be seen and heard, end quote. Brady adds that he wants to make sure his priorities are in the right place by finding a balance between football and spending enough time with his children. Now, look, we could be overanalyzing all of this and looking too deep into everything. I mean, he did on social media mention Bill Belichick when he mentioned the Krafts and everybody else that he thanked when he decided to make the initial decision to sign with Tampa Bay weeks ago. But I hear him saying things like, I want to be able to collaborate. I want to be seen and heard. And I'm thinking, well, that has to be in some way a shot about the past. If you're moving on to get that, doesn't it mean you weren't getting that before? And 100%. I've said all along that there are two reasons why I thought he might leave. The first was I just think greatness, and it comes with cockiness, and it comes with wanting to be viewed as the guy. When you're in Belichick's shadow, and to some extent Belichick was in Brady's shadow, it worked that way. They took credit away from one another. You want to see if you can do it without him. And that was kind of my number one prevailing thought. But the other thing was, it's not like Belichick is Pete Carroll, who's giving you hugs and coming to your barbecues. It's not like he's Joe Gibbs, who's leading Bible study with all his players, to my knowledge. I mean, he is a fairly, while we don't know the real Bill Belichick behind the scenes, I think he's mostly, compared to some of those other guys, like above the players. You're sitting in chairs and he's at a podium.
That dude will cut you as soon as past the potato salad.
Less approachable, kind of less friendly, not your buddy, not your pal. I just don't think he like Ron Rivera, when you watch that All or Nothing I always reference now with the Carolina Panthers, as a former player, he is a player's coach through and through. You come into his office, he'll give you a hug, he'll sit down, he'll ask you how your wife is, and he knows all your kids' names. I just don't think Belichick is cut from that cloth, and I think Brady wants some of that.
Yeah, he's 2.0 Parcells. He's not your buddy. He's not your friend. You got someone on the staff to be that guy. He's not that. Like, if you get in a huge argument, if you're one of Belichick's players, you get in a huge argument with your wife and she kicks you out of the house, you can call Ron Rivera and sit down and talk to him about it. That's your man. That's your mentor. Bill Belichick's going to stop you. Say, whoa. I don't care about that. Make sure you're at practice. You got to help us win. Figure out a way to study the tape on your iPad. You know, like, it's just different. And obviously, he's successful beyond compare. He's the greatest coach of all time in my non-hot take estimation and opinion. But here's what this piece screams to me, GP. Two words. Love me. Love me. That's right. What this is. He felt underappreciated from one person. And all these things jump off the page. Like, this isn't one of those times where you're in English class and the teacher's telling you that this, you know, petal of a rose actually signifies this, that, and you go, may, it could also just be a rose. It could also just be nothing at all. This signifies something. There is meaning here. You don't have to dig too deep to find it. This was I wasn't appreciated in my new home. They love me so much, and that's what I wanted.
You're listening to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Next, we are going to play a game. What is the name of this game exactly, Danny?
Does Grant Know the Band? Grant Know the Band?
We need you guys, though, to fill up the phones now to participate. Here's how this is going to work. Tom's going to play very popular Smash songs. You're going to be able to hear them. You're then going to guess whether or not I know which band performed the legendary song that everybody's heard,
you're betting,
including myself, a million times. And then you got to determine, do I know it or I don't? We'll do it next. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. Our double play at 11:45. We're going blitzing at noon. Big final hour of the show. FP Santangelo at 1. Baseball's got an idea. Send all the players to Phoenix. Start the season in June. Sequester the players in hotels, test them and make sure they're okay, and have a season. Is it going to work? We'll ask FP. Plus, Clinton Portis wants to stop by the show at 1:30 today. We got all kinds of things to ask him about. Chase Young at number 2. When we talked to him, I don't know if you remember this, Danny, like a month ago, end of the season, he was team trade back.
Yeah.
And I want to know if he still is or if the Chase Young idea has grown on him at all. We'll also get his thoughts on Haskins, Kyle Allen, the quarterback situation going into year 2. But it is time to play a game. By the way, Wookie wants to rename the game. It's an alternate title.
It's a good title.
He says, next on Grant and Danny, let's play. When will Grant hurt Wookiee's feelings by thinking Led Zeppelin is Aerosmith? Because it's only a matter of time.
This is the specialty. For my pal, Grant Harrison Paulson, that knows so much about sports, about certain things, there are, to be fair, and I'm trying to be democratic here, there are holes in the knowledge of Grant Paulson. I think there are certain things that he knows. He is Slumdog Paulsonaire, but there are lots of things that he doesn't know. So if those questions get asked, it turns into something that people can't really believe. And I think music and music history, GP, is one of those things. Is that fair?
Very fair. There are holes written by Louis Sachar starring Shia LaBeouf in movie form.
See,
there's
you,
no
you
doubt.
Shouldn't know that. You shouldn't know that. And then you can't, but you do, and then you can't tell like a song by your favorite band. You're like, you know, I love Queen. And then you're like, I think that song's by David Bowie, and it's actually Queen. It's amazing.
Here's what we need. It might have been Under Pressure, which is Queen and David Bowie, which is my favorite song ever, by the
Indeed.
Way.
Yes.
Chris in Sterling will get us started, but we need callers to play this game at 800-636-1067. So Thom plays a smash hit. You name whether or not I'm going to know it or not. So, Danny, why don't you take the lead here and steer this sucker?
Chris, you understand how the game is played. A song will be played. You'll know it. I'll know it. Our entire listening audience will likely know it. But, well, the question is, does Grant Paulson know it? You will bet on whether or not Grant knows it. And if you're right, you receive nothing. If you're wrong, you also receive nothing. Chris, do you understand how the game is played?
Yes, sir. Sounds good.
Very good, my friend. Thommy, first song up, please. You can think of a couple different things when this song comes on.
I think of Garth, Wayne's World, Foxy Lady. He's doing
and
his
that
little
is
fingers.
What you should. That
He's
is
kind
what
of
you
dry humping
of.
The air, walking across the room to the jukebox.
Yeah, I say hurl. If you blow chunks and she bolts, it was never meant to be. I am all in favor of that. Chris, does Grant Paulson know the artist?
There is zippy chance that he knows the artist.
Grant Paulson, who is the artist of that song?
Can I reiterate really quickly how well I knew the movie scene? Did he not
you knew
hear
the movie
me
right
rattle
away.
That all off?
I'm feeling very comfortable.
And he still doesn't think I know the song after everything I just said about the movie.
I tend to agree with him, my friend. Who is the artist?
So I'm not confident about my answer, I will tell you. I think I have it, but it's one of those things, if I get it, it's an incredible pull. And if it's wrong, it's a terrible guess.
Okay.
I'm thinking Jimi Hendrix.
Grant Paulson knew! Grant
is it
Paulson
really?
Knows the artist.
Yes!
I was with you, man. I thought you were right about that. The idea that you're proud of yourself for knowing the iconic Jimi Hendrix song is something. But
I am giddy, but tell me that's not an incredible deep cut pull by me.
It is not. Like that's as well known a song as there is in the history of time. Basically, that one and All Along the Watchtower are the two songs that are in 90% of movies, pretty much.
I would set before
2000.
I would say for Grant that is a deep cut pull.
That's Thank a deep
you.
Cut.
For, I'm saying for me.
For him.
Oh, for
it
you.
Is.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes.
That's all I was saying. 800-636-1067 if you want to play. 800-636-1067. All right, which of you guys wants to bet on or against me right now? Who wants to play?
I'll take the lead right here, unless Dar is close by.
Let's go with Danny. Dar is screening some more calls.
Very good. Right. Very good. Tommy, song number two, please.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. I'll let the the verbiage kick in. Very popular. I forgot how long this intro is, Tommy. We may not have time.
It's quite an
to
intro.
To let it breathe. All right. It is,
I think
it
we're
is
good.
A substantial intro. I think we're good to go. I'm going to say Grant knows this. I'm going to say Grant Paulson knows this artist. I'm betting on GP. Grant, can you go 2 for 2? Who is this artist?
This is a complete guess. You just fell for my head fake, by the way. I was trying to be overly confident. I got you in the air, and I'm drawing the foul. I'm going to say
right.
AC/DC.
2 for 2. Grant Paulson
knows music.
Is it
AC/DC?
Music. It is AC/DC, my friend.
Well, that is my default guess anytime I don't know a song that has been played in a stadium. So that was
that is your cheese.
But I am now batting. That is my cheese. You're 100% right. So I'm batting 1,000. Have I ever done this before?
This is we are in uncharted territory. You've known Jimi Hendrix.
Let's go.
AC/DC. You are on
Maybe all I ever
fire.
Needed was just to be at home in the comfort of my own nest.
Believe
Let's
me,
do this.
The average will come down. Believe me.
Here we go.
Okay. I don't know, Tommy. You wouldn't have thought I was two for two right now. I think Sam's
off,
in Annapolis.
I'm starting you off easy.
All right. Sam in Annapolis on line three. Let's go there.
Sam, how are you, sir?
I am fantastic, gentlemen. How are you?
We're good, man. You understand how the game is played? You're going to bet on Grant. Are you ready to roll?
Yes, sir.
Very well. Tommy, song number three, please. Now, Sam, you've heard this song a trillion times, right? You know it. It's on every classic rock station, a little 94.7 The Drive. Regardless of format, you're going to hear it. This is a standard-issue song. Everybody knows it. It's in movies and everything else. But do you think Grant Paulson knows the artist of this song?
I'm going to give a big thumbs down. I'm sorry, Grant.
Don't be sorry. Grant Paulson, who sings this song? Who's the artist?
I'm going to say The Kinks.
I am very sorry. This is not The Kinks. It is The Police, Sting, and The Police, my friend. Wow. You were correct, Sam in Annapolis.
And also, I would like to add that David Elfin actually gave this answer away yesterday during his interview because I played this song coming into the segment. He said it was The Police, and it's the exact same song.
In fairness, and I'm not trying to be a jerk, that's too deep of a cut. Like, is this that famous of a song that everyone would know
yes.
it's The Police?
Yes.
This is a top song in America at some point?
I'm not telling you this is one of their best songs. I'm telling you this is clearly on-brand Police.
Tom, what percentage of our listening audience, you went to music school and you know music. What percentage of our listening audience pulls that this is The Police? More than 20?
65%.
All right, that meets the threshold. There's no doubt about that. All right, let's get to the next call, 800-636-1067.
Two out of
let's
three,
go
though,
to, I'm like that batting average. I'm all right right now. Let's go to James in Stafford on line five. Hey, James, how are you?
James, what's up?
Good, guys. I'm good.
All right, my friend. You know how the game is played?
I sure do.
Let's do this. Tommy, song number four, please. Now, this is really going to throw him, I think, hearing two different voices. Now, James, I'm sure you knew that the first note that came on, right? I know you know.
Absolutely.
You know it. But does my friend Grant Paulson know the artist? That's the question.
Grant Paulson knows this song.
Wow. Betting on GP.
Wow, I'm honored. I mean, that is incredible that you would think I know this song. That is incredible. I'm going to say it's some kind of like a funk band, maybe Detroit roots,
sure,
something
sure.
like that.
Very funky, yeah.
I'm going to say, I don't even know a funk band. I'll say Funkadelic.
You're killing me.
Who is it?
It's Prince, dude.
Oh, I should have known that. Is he Detroit?
No, he's from Minnesota.
Oh, that's right.
But you had some
Whatever.
Midwest in there. All right, so now we're two
out
of four.
But, you know, I was on to something, actually, when I said funk.
I suppose. But this is 1999. This is probably the most famous song. It's either this or Purple Rain or Let's Go Crazy or Little Red Corvette. But this is Hallmark Prince, incredibly well known.
Tom, do you have enough songs that we could keep this train on the tracks and do this instead of a double play next?
I have
people can continue.
I have five more.
Let's do it.
What do you think, Danny? You want to do that?
I just have so much fun doing this. I love the false confidence, and then I love the renewed confidence when you actually get one right. This is one of my favorite games. I love this.
So that makes one of us. The thing for me is I hear from people after we do this every time, siblings, parents.
Yes.
Relatives that are all discouraged, disappointed, making fun of me. I get tweets. That said, it's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
Everything's fine.
It's fine.
800-636-1067 if you want to play. I don't want this to just turn into everyone saying I don't know music, though, because you should bet on me. If he plays Queen, I'll get that. If he plays, there's a few bands I will definitely get, just so you guys know.
My man just
Grant
bet on
Danny.
You. You didn't get it.
Right. Well, that's true. That backfired on him, but he didn't lose anything. You're listening to The Fan. G&D welcoming you back, 106.7 The Fan with you until 2 o'clock today. At noon, we'll go blitzing. Next hour at 12:18, I thought this would be fun. So yesterday, Danny, the NFL announced the all-decade teams. the Redskins, right, aside from an AP cameo, were completely shut out of the guys that actually made the team representing the Redskins. We will give you our Redskins all-decade teams. There's some grinding that needs to be done at a couple of positions, but there are, you know, some obvious answers as well. So we'll go offense at 12:18 and defense at 12:30, but we'll give you the Redskins all-decade team today on G&D. The Movie Club at 12:45. The Dirty Dozen, we watched it last night. I'd never seen that. What a good movie that is.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you know it's a classic and you're watching it and you're supposed to appreciate it, but I was exhausted last night, so I'll fully admit I fell asleep during it at one point, but it is. I mean, it's got a bunch of guys where you go, oh, my God, that guy's so famous. Wait, that guy's so famous, because you'd sort of forgotten that's sort of where they got their start, you know, like action heroes or something like Ernest Borgnine and Charles Bronson and Jim Brown. It's a great cast. It's really, really good.
I had to do two viewings. So I started, I stopped, I came back, I finished. It was too long.
Two and a half hours.
Yeah, it's a grind. But it's really, really good. And I could tell watching it, that was well said. Like, this feels classic-y. There are long-winded scenes, like dialogue-driven scenes, that in today's film industry get condensed into, like, a minute when they ran 11 minutes.
Right, and then there's a montage, you know, like where the guy slowly improves. Yeah.
That having been said, it was, I mean, Jim Brown's in that damn movie. When I saw Jim Brown, I'm thinking, wait a second.
Wait, what?
That's Jim Brown.
Yeah, that's Jim Brown.
Then I look it up, and sure enough. So, pretty cool. But anyway, we'll talk about that, the Movie Club at 12:45. Right now, though, we're playing a game, and it's fun for Danny, a little bit less fun for me.
It is Does Grant Know the Band, a very famous, obvious, easy bit of low-hanging fruit. Music is played. Your job as the caller at 800-636-1067 is to bet whether or not Grant Paulson knows it. He got off to a great start, a couple line drive base hits into the outfield for extra bases, and then a couple of just cookies down the middle. He swung and missed right through those, so he is now 2 for 4. I think the bettors have done a pretty good job to this point. GP, who's up next on the phones?
I was feeling myself, by the way, at 2 for 2.
A lot of
Richmond
confidence.
John had a great zing. He's like, Danny Espinosa just hit a couple of home runs, and the slump is coming, and I'm 0-for-2 since, so I got to get back on the good foot. Let's go to show historian Juliana in Alexandria on line 4.
Juliana, how are you?
Hey, great, guys. How are you all?
We're doing very well. How are you guys coping with this normal situation?
So much kid time. It's awesome.
You could hear the sincerity in her voice. Juliana,
there's no sarcasm at all there.
You know how the game is played as the official show historian. Thummy, go ahead and play number 5, please. Cut number 5. Juliana, you and I are probably around middle school age when this comes out. The video, must watch. It's weird, but it sort of fit with the time. I know you know this. The question is, Juliana, show historian, does Grant Paulson know this? Does Grant Paulson know this artist?
I will be so surprised if he knows this, but once upon a time, he did know what Harissa was. So definitely going with no, but we'll see.
Here we go. Grant Paulson. Who sings this song?
Those Chili Peppers aren't white hot.
Oh, baby!
Am I right or am I right? Juliana!
I can't believe it.
What happened, Juliana?
I'll never know what he's going to know. I'll never know.
Yep. He's unpredictable,
right?
That's
now
for certain.
Juliana,
you're the best.
I feel so silly right
Thank
now.
You.
I'm invincible.
Stay safe. That's ridiculous. Like, the... Oh, I can't explain it. As I said, we could do the show for 100 years, God willing, and I will never be able to anticipate what you're going to guess. As she pointed out correctly, as the show historian, you're like, you know what Harissa is, and you like named it correctly. And then I was like, okay, what's Manchego? And you're like, that is a mushroom that grows. You know, I'll never know what you're going to know. Let's go to the next caller. You were 3 for 5, my friend, hitting 600. Hell of an afternoon
day
for you.
I mean, your boy, Adrian Sanchez, is carrying the Nats right now. Let's go to Victor in Alexandria on line 1.
Victor, how are you, sir?
All right. I'm doing well. Hopefully you're going to play some Frank Sinatra or Al Jolson and really stump Grant now.
Well, he's got no shot there.
You think I don't know Frankie Blue Eyes? Get out of here, Victor.
He'd have more of a shot beating you in a boxing match than he would at naming one of those two artists if they were played. Victor, are you ready to play this game?
Absolutely.
Tommy, play that tune. This one, okay. I'm going to say, Victor, is not easy. This is not easy.
No, it's not. It's not, because the act has kind of – the act is still popular, but this isn't one of their best – I mean, it was a big hit, but it's not – I don't hear it as much on the classic rock. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a huge hit. It's number one hit. I will guess confidently, though, because it's from 1985, he will not get it.
Yeah, I'm going to say he doesn't get this one. This, Grant, I'm going to tell you, this is not easy. This one's the hardest one that Tommy has played to this point. Grant Paulson, Victor's bet against you. I'm betting against you. Who is the artist on this song?
So I'm between two bands on this for no reason. They're just the two bands that popped into my head.
The Kinks and AC/DC.
No, that's funny. Def Leppard and Whitesnake. I don't know. Okay. I can't name songs from either of them.
Sure.
Those are the two bands in my head. I'm going to go with Whitesnake.
That was your first instinct was Whitesnake there?
Yes.
They're known for their kind of accordion, not accordion, that like keyboard sound Whitesnake is?
I don't know what they're known for. It's just what popped into my head.
Hey, Grant, do you know what I'm doing?
What?
The double guns, because you got it wrong.
Hall and Oates, brother. Hall and Oates.
Yes.
That doesn't even sound like my guy, John Hall and – is it Hall? John Hall, Daryl Oates?
Daryl Oates. You need to hear the iconic voice pop in, and that'll give it away that you're out of touch, you're out of time. Victor, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Way to play that game. Let's squeeze in one more here. So Grant is 3 for 6. Last one coming. Let's go to – who is it, Phil and Alexandria?
Yeah, and this is game 7, by the way. Need this one, Danny. Need
Let's
this
Let's do
one.
It. All Over right.
We're off the foul pole.
Phil, you know how the game is played. Go ahead, Tommy. Oh, right away. Phil,
I mean,
you know
this
it.
Is played in every stadium that's ever existed. I've heard this at every game I've ever been to.
And it's always played on this game as well. Filthy, you know this one. I know
of
this
course.
One. Does Grant Paulson know this one?
Grant is so predictable, and he actually doesn't know it based on the intro.
He's found my poker tell? Is that what he's saying? Like I'm overly confident?
I love it. All right, Grant Paulson, who is this artist?
So I'm between two bands.
Are you again? Yeah.
Yeah. It's either, I'm very confident it's either Metallica or AC/DC.
Okay.
Because those are the two stadium anthems.
Yep.
It feels more AC/DC than Metallica. I'll say AC/DC.
Oh, remember, we already had an AC/DC. This
Metallica.
One, once again, is Guns N' Roses, and it'll be Guns N' Roses the next time Tommy plays it when we play this game.
Is this a song he's played before?
Every time. I've
played
it
every time.
And I have gotten it none?
Correct. Never got it.
I'll remember that for next time. Beltway Blitz is next on Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.